Myla and the girls.
Thank you.
Praise God. Good. Praise God. You need this.
Lord, thank you.
As Brother Aaron's getting ready, I just want to welcome all the visitors, or the ones that I don't know. They may have visited before. Sister June, you said that was your sister, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
From another mother.
From another mother, okay. All right. Well, it's good to have you with us. Praise the Lord.
I agreed to sing, and I didn't realize I was going to have to follow that. If I'd have known that, I might have changed my mind. But that's been requested, so I'm going to sing it. You've heard the story of Paul and Silas, how they were bound and thrown into jail. They kept on praying, they didn't worry, they were serving a God that could not fail. Well, long about midnight, God sent an earthquake. The whole foundation began to shake. Those prison doors flew open wide, and Paul and Silas stepped outside. Yes, he'll deliver me in my time of need, like those Hebrew children from that fire he freed. And he fed 5,000 with two fishes and bread, and he walked on the water, and he raised the dead. Well, he stood by Daniel in the lion's den. He saved old Moses from Pharaoh's men. Open the eyes of the blind to see. I know that he'll deliver me. Now it was David, my God delivered, when before Goliath he did stand. He took no armor, he took no weapons, just 5 stones and a sling in his hand. Yes, he went running to meet that army. He met that Philistine man that stood mighty and tall. He said, I come in the name of the Lord. And oh, that mighty man did fall. Yes, he'll deliver me in my time of need, like those Hebrew children from that fire he freed. And he fed 5,000 with two fishes and bread, and he walked on the water, and he raised the dead. Well, he stood by Daniel in the lion's den. He saved old Moses from Pharaoh's men. Open the eyes of the blind to see. I know that he'll deliver me. Yes, he'll deliver me in my time of need, like those Hebrew children from that fire he freed. And he fed 5,000 with two fishes and bread, and he walked on the water, and he raised the dead. Well, he stood by Daniel in the lion's den. He saved old Moses from Pharaoh's men. Open the eyes of the blind to see. I know that he'll deliver me.
You believe that?
Amen.
No matter what's going on out there, the believer, the son of God, the daughter of God is protected under his hand.
Amen.
And he is led to the right place where he needs to be. Amen. Praise God. Thank you all singers. Amen. Let's just give the Lord a clap of praise one more time. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Mark, if you want to come help us take up our offering, please. Thank you, Lord. Yes.
Father, we ask for your blessings and all the tithes and the offerings. Pray that you kind of bless the service, Father God. Bless Brother Wade as he's studying, praying, bring the word. She asks in thy name, Jesus Christ.
Amen. As he passes that around, let's just sing this song, Amazing Grace, the old faithful. Amen.
Amen.
If it wasn't for his grace, where would we be? Praise God. It's amazing grace, how sweet. the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught me. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me. Let's sing this last verse. When we've been there 10,000 years, let's stand to our feet. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Let's just worship Him. Praise God. Oh, praise God. 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 Let's sing that again now as Brother Wade comes. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God,
praise God.
Oh, praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God,
praise God.
Worshiping today.
Oh, praise God,
praise God.
Oh, praise God.
The battle's over. We
shall wear a crown in thy new Jerusalem.
Amen. Let's give him a hand clap of praise. He loves the praises of his people. He loves us all. I love you with the love of the Lord. All right. Wow, well, some good singing. How about y'all gonna sing that other song? You gonna wait and sing it Saturday? The one y'all sang, where the group sang? You gonna do it Saturday? Okay. All right. All right. That was a good one. Yeah, that was a real good one. Yeah, that was good. Yep, you can give it. You ought to hear the one they're gonna sing on Saturday. If it don't stir your soul, what happened to Aaron? That's Aaron. Your spoon done fell out of your bowl. If that don't stir your soul. All right, by way of announcements, number one, we have a visitor. She's not part of the family, but she's part of the family. Her name is Tommy Jean, and couldn't have you with us. Don't hide behind Aaron back there now. She helps us in our festivals. She helps us in our store. She comes in and bugs us all the time. Amen. Yeah, Jean said, praise the Lord. She is a huge help to us. And she is a good Christian girl. So good to have her with us today. And just make yourself at home. And y'all sang loud and you sang good. Man. Find out if I can keep you awake. So, yeah, Frida. So anyway, by way of announcements, as we get this service started, I'll be speaking Wednesday. We're having the July the 4th meeting, so me and Brother Dale won't be speaking, so he asked me to speak Wednesday. So we'll be doing that. And also next Saturday at 11 o'clock, we will have a service for the youth. But you can come too if you want to, the older ones. But I would appreciate if you older ones would sit downstairs, because we're expecting some from other churches, some children, young adults, and we want to give them plenty of room and let Brother Andrew Glover speak to them, okay? Now, after this service tonight, today, we're going to meet in my Sunday school class. We need someone to set up the meal, because we're going to be feeding everyone that comes spaghetti, meatballs, bread, and salad. So we don't need you to bring anything but dessert, but we'll talk about that. We'll get everything else. But we need a group to set up, so be thinking about this. Set up, serve, and clean up. Everybody got that? Set up, serve, and clean up. Now, during that time, if you've got kids, you need to figure out which one. If you got kids, you need to be with the kids, okay? We're expecting probably close to 100 people. So, that'll be 100 altogether, maybe, 40 or 50 or 60 kids. So we appreciate all the help we can get, but we will meet as soon as service is over in my Sunday school class downstairs, and we will get a list of things that we need to do. Amen? There'll be no Bible study this Saturday because of the special service on Saturday. Also, we'll have Sunday service, regular service, next Sunday. But Brother Andrew Glover will be with us. And also, the youth will still be conducting the service because it'll be the first Sunday of the month. All right. So we've already got that worked out. So also, July the 26th, Brother Trevor Emmons, if you'll remember the Church Age book, the little commentary Church Age book that you do the study in, and you do tests and all that. He's the one that compiled that. He used to go to the Tabernacle. Now he goes to Brother Nathan Bryant's church there in Jeffersonville. But he'll be here speaking the second service that day for us on July the 26th. So everybody got that? Amen. So good to be in the house of the Lord. If you will, turn your Bibles to the book of Leviticus 23. We're going to start on the feast days. Now, they're going to put this on the board, and I've been trying to find it. Sister Barbara, bless her sweetheart. I never could run one of these off, but she just brought me one this morning, and then Brother Joe and Brother Anderson in the back, they just piggybacked and made y'all one color. he made you a color one. They made you one. It's got some color to it. So we'll be using that chart. That will be the calendar of Israel and the feast. So if everybody's got one, then we're going to put it on the screen. So thank God for technology. We'll use that Laodicean technology for the glory of the Lord. So Leviticus 23, verse 1. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you give us. We pray now that you sanctify us through this little journey that we're taking, Lord, showing in this feast of you that you had a group of people that was special to your heart, and you were wanting to lead them and guide them through the world of Egypt and out of the land of Egypt and into the promised land, and you gave them ordinances and things to do, and Lord, it was just a symbol of the things that we as Christians do ourselves, that you are the Passover lamb that died on the cross of Calvary for us, Lord, and you set us free from the land of Egypt that we all came from. Father, we pray that you just be with us today, be with this service. You be the active participant, Lord. You be the one that does the speaking. You be the one that does hearing. And without you, Lord, we're not anything. Father, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our sins. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. So the feast, this is the feast of the Lord. This is not the feast of Israel. The Lord never called them that. He called them the feast of the Lord. All right, so here we go. This is the Passover, and we're going to get into this today, and hopefully we can do this in 2 or 3 hours. So, Tommy, we just takes a long time for us to talk. You ought to know that. Leviticus 23:1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them concerning the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feast. Right. All right? They're not Israel's feast, they're God's feast.
Amen.
All right? 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest. An holy convocation, ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Now that tells us about the seventh day being the Sabbath. That is not a feast day. He's just telling them that this is what's going to happen. You're going to work 6 days and you're going to be off the seventh day. Everybody got that? Say amen. Okay. But that has nothing to do. That's not a feast day. That's a set time that God set for them to not do anything. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their season. All right, now here's the first one. In the 14th day of the first month at evening, at evening, is the Lord's Passover. You may be seated, and the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, I want to read you a quote from the prophet here. And who is this? In 1959. And we'll explain to Tommy if she has any questions about who this person is. So anyway, the people were so crowded around the gates, the streets were jammed, and there was not even room for people to sleep. They were laying outside the wall all over the grounds because this was the Passover. And people came from all over the known world to worship at this time. It was a time when the Paschal Lamb was slain, and it represented their deliverance out of Egypt, the bondage. And they kept this annually. Every year this great Passover took place. And it was one of the most outstanding times or events of the Jewish religion because it meant the time they were delivered. Now look, all people love to think of that. The time they were delivered. That's the same way with you and I. We are going to talk about what happened to natural Israel. But there's a spiritual implication showing how that we had a Paschal lamb and that how you and I were caught in Egypt. And then we, one day, God came and paid a price and got us out of Egypt. And then we went through our journey into the promised land. All right. So this is, I've said many times before, and the Bible tells us in Corinthians that these were all given for examples to whom the ends of the world have come upon. That's us.
Yes.
The end of the world didn't come upon the first church age, second church age, third church age, all the way up to number seven. We're in the end of the seventh church age. And God has given us grace.
Amen.
To know where we're at, where we came from, what we're doing here, and where we're going. Like what Brother Dale was talking about this morning, giving us foreknowledge.
Amen.
to know that we were in the mind of God and that we were going to come here and we were going to be a human. But we know where we're going. Amen? It's going to be for us, it's a spiritual journey, but we also have a natural journey, just like the children of Israel did. So, all right, let's get started. Let's show now the feast. In Strong's Concordance, the feast is a sacred season, a set feast, or an appointed season. Listen, there was not, and we talked about this morning in Sunday school class, there was not a Holy Ghost indwelling in the Old Testament to give these people a rudder or a moral way to do things. So God set them up some feast. All right, you keep this feast, you keep this feast, you keep this feast. All right, but what it is, though, it's typing about you and what we're doing now. So a feast is an appointed season. Now, convocation, because they're holy convocations. I got to slow down. Reading, a calling together, a sacred assembly. So what God told the Israelites to do, the children of Israel. Now, what happened is, just to get started with this thing, let's get a little history. The children of Israel were God's people. Everybody say amen. If you say amen, you won't fall asleep. That was kind of weak. That sounds better. If you were at a ball game, it would have been a lot louder than that. But the children of it, thank you, Louis. Thank you, sister. But y'all act up when company's here. You can come again if you want to. Keep them awake. But here we got the children of Israel. Listen, they're God's people. You and I are God's people. But they were God's people first. Amen? So the children of Israel, he told them all these different things. He gave them prophets. He gave them Joseph. He gave them Abraham. He gave them all these different ones. But what happened was they got caught in the wrong place. They got caught in Egypt. And they had to stay down there for 430 years under bondage to the Egyptians. But God promised them that he was going to bring them out, not with a noodle hand or some little limp, a mighty hand. He was going to show the world that his people that are living in this Egypt, I'm going to bring them out. And there's nothing, United States, Russia, China, there's nothing they can do about it. Because this great Egypt was the greatest nation in the world. And here's this little group of people down in Egypt, a couple of million, you know, scattered around. And here's this great mighty Egypt, several hundred million people, you know, and here's this little group of people, and they made them slaves. So in them making them slaves, in that we were slaves to sin in Egypt. But you know, I was telling them, they had one promise. You're coming out. You're coming out. You're not going to be in bondage. I'm going to bring you out with a mighty hand. I'm going to send you a prophet. I'm going to send you an angel. And I'm going to send you a lamb. That sound familiar? Okay. So anyway. So here are the children of Israel. I was thinking about this yesterday, and Tommy knows how I think. It's pretty off. Not awful, but just a little off. So here you got, but you see where we're fixing to come to now. The reason I want to set this stage this way is because look how there had already been like 9 or so plagues. We're coming to the last plague. We're coming to the day of deliverance. We're coming to where they're going to walk out and Egypt is going to be glad to get rid of them. Amen. So this is the way we should be. I mean, here comes Ira the Israelite riding on his brand new donkey. He pulls up in the employee of the month parking space. Hey, they're going to make bricks. And they're just as happy and they're clean and everything's fine. They don't have no problem. And they walk in, they say, man, I'm going to punch my time clock. See my new donkey? And the Egyptian, old Earl the Egyptian, he's over there. Ain't slept in 3 or 4 days. Got lice all over him. Locusts have done eat up all of his grass. His donkey had died. It blowed an engine. I was going to say this anyway, whether Tommy comes here or not. But it's just comical, though. You got these people, these chosen... Do you not know where I'm going with that? These chosen people walking in this world. And you know, Earl the Egyptian, he's like, oh, it was so dark last night, I couldn't see anything. And, you know, Ira the Israelite, he's like, what do you mean? We partied till 3 o'clock in the morning. We ate matzah and we had... Oh, sorry. That's how God takes care of his people. Because we're in the darkest time we've ever been in. We've got all these different things that we're going through. You should be able to walk into work or walk into Walmart or anywhere with a big old smile on your face and not have to worry about the... the virus or the lice or the locusts or the... frogs all over the place. You see what they went through. And they're looking at a group of people going, how are you not something? Yeah, you know what? God chose them. God made them that way. God promised them what he would do for them if they would just do what he said. Only time Israel got in trouble was they quit doing what God said. Amen? So here we are, we come into the Passover. And you know what? This is a serious time because this is going to mean death. A lot of other things were, you know, they were bugs and they were this and they were that and they were frogs and all these different things. But now we come down to a life. There's going to have to be a life given. It's become a very serious time, even in our life, as of right now, this day. Amen. So let's go to Exodus, chapter 12, and let's begin to read. Now I want you to realize and look at your, if you want to look at your chart for just a second, don't pull it up yet, but just look down, glance down at your chart. When we get started with this, Passover is a feast. It is different from unleavened bread, but all through the Bible, it is included in the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Everybody got that? Say amen. Because you're going to look in, we're going to read some scriptures in the New Testament, if we ever get to them, in the New Testament, where it talks about the Feast of Unleavened Bread. But it started, because remember, at Passover, they had to still eat unleavened bread. Okay, so listen, there's two groups in Israel today that keep 7 days, and another group that keeps 8 days. Which is including that day of Passover. Everybody got that? Because the Bible tells us, we'll read when we get to unleavened bread, that after the day of Passover, which will be the 15th day of the month, is when you start 7 days of feast. But now you'll see in the New Testament, as it come down through time, they started celebrating Passover. It would say the Feast of Unleavened Bread beginning at Passover. So I don't want you to get confused. Okay? Everybody all right? And you look at your chart. Freddie, you already confused? Tommy, that was my first girlfriend. Long time ago. But, okay, well, let's go through this real slow. The Bible, I know, Brother Ray, I know. But there's always one. Passover was, no, look, really, honestly, I want everybody to understand this. I don't want anybody to be lost. So, look, let's read this and then I'll show you what's going on. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. What's the first day of the Jewish, listen to me, religious calendar? Those of you who've been downstairs ought to know this. Nisan, or Abib, or you got to say March, April, because, now listen, I know a lot of you shaking your head. We've been over this before, but I want to break it down a little bit more. They do not have physical calendars in Israel, even today. We're in like the 5,750th day of since the beginning of time. That's the way they count it. But the way they count it, it is a lunar cycle. Everybody got that? The priest walks out, they see a sliver of moon, they say, okay, we can start the next month. If they walk out at the end of the first month and they look and they do not see that sliver or the full moon or whichever it is, they say, nope, we gotta have another month. Because that's why we have leap years. You know why we have leap years? Okay, Freedom. The reason we don't have leap years. I'll come over here. The reason we have leap years is what happened though. Now look, we know one thing. Let's go back. This may take a while. Glad I got Wednesday. No, listen. No, that's not funny. I want you to understand. I want everybody to understand, and I want everybody to be on the same level, okay? So what happened when the flood came? You're sitting close to her, Esther. When the flood came, what happened to the world? It got tilted off. Kids, you know in school, the earth is not sitting on its axis. It's so many degrees off. So it wobbles. That's why we have spring, summer, fall, and winter. Because the earth tilts, the sun's up here, the earth tilts away, we have... Thank you. So anyway, so that's why that, but now, as we keep these times, as it wobbles, what happened was, on into the middle, like from B.C. to A.D., you have Julian calendar, Gregorian calendar, Aaron can fill you in on all that, but this is just telling you why we do what we do. What happened is, if you keep everything solid by calendar, these spring feasts were beginning to be in the middle of the summer.
Yep. Yep. Right.
Then they began to be in the winter.
Right.
So one, either Pope Gregory or one of the, or Julius Caesar, one, added so many days to the calendar to bring it all the way back. This is true. To bring it all the way back to put everything in April in the spring. Everybody got that? Say amen. Then you come up with a Gregorian calendar. Isn't that right, T? Julian was numbers. Gregorian calendar is our 31, 30, 29. Now we know what prophet said about that. Remember when the earth was standing straight up before the flood, there was 30 days to a month. Everything was running right on cater. 30 days every month. Got it? But now it wobbles, so it started putting the days over into the summertime. Well, they reversed it back, and Pope Gregory or Julian I, one of the two, added 365 and a fourth day. That's why every 4 years, there's a leap year. You have one extra day. And Frieda, let me tell you, you know how to figure out that out? An election year is, presidential election year is always on a leap year. It gives the politicians one more day to lie to us. It's just kind of funny that it happens that way. But so now the calendar stays back where it's supposed to be. Everybody okay with that?
Right.
So that, not really. I mean, it started with that, sure enough, these spring feasts were beginning to be in the summertime. And they're like, we can't celebrate these feasts. Easter can't be in July. So they set the calendar back and started doing 365 and a fourth day. That we now live under. Now, when we go back to the millennium, remember what we're going to do. Everything's going to come right back up. The new city, we're not going to have a wobbly earth in the new city. That's going to be perfection. We're going to have 360 days. We're going to what? Go back to the original. Amen. So this month shall be unto you the beginning of month. So God told Moses, your first month is going to be Abib, Nisan, it's March, April, because remember what I said, it wobbles back and forth. It's determined on the moon. Even Israel now, over there now, their calendars are according to the moon.
Right.
It's called a lunar calendar.
Right.
All right? So, because they depend on that, when the priests come out and they say, okay, there's too much moon showing, we need to have another month, because it keeps everything right here. You have spring feast. They have to be in the spring. Okie dokie. They can't be in the fall. They have to be in the spring. So God set this up. See, when God sets it up, it's perfect. So this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. But now remember, also, I don't know if it's on that or not, but now the Jewish civil calendar starts in October. So it's different. You got to remember, we're talking about the lunar or the religious calendar of Israel. From now on, we're going to talk about the religious calendar of Israel, which starts, God told them to start it in March, April, or Abib. So that will be the first month of their year. So if you got your little thing right here, you got your little paper. If you want to pull it up now, Brother Joe, if you can. They're so good back there. Look at this. Boom. That's your first month. Nisan, right here. What happens is each one of these come to a place. Now, right here at the end of the year, the priests come out, and if there's a sliver of the moon left, I mean, if there's a big part of the moon left when it's supposed to come to this day here, they say, nope, they add another month. Some of their years have 13 months. But it keeps all this from doing this. Right. Keeps it from shifting. Because you know what? God said this is where I want these feasts, and that's where I want those feasts. Right. I don't want them here and here.
Right.
He wants them in the spring, what? Where everything's growing, and he wants them in the fall, where everything is harvested.
Right.
Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
Now, I don't know who in the world went in the pastor study and made every one of these things set sideways. I'm going to whip them. You can't set them up nowhere. So you just have to lay it down. So right here, look, here's Passover. We're going to read on the 14th day of the month. All right, Freddie, you got that? Okay. The next day is the 15th. That's when you start unleavened bread. But, taking Passover, we're going to read it here. You start eating unleavened bread here. Passover is one day. Unleavened bread is 7 or 8 days. Ever how you want to, if you want to include Passover, that's 8 days. Has everybody got that? If you don't, it's 7 days. And we're going to read it here in the Bible. Then you have the Feast of First Fruits, which is right after that. So we'll get into those a little bit later, but we got to get it to Passover first. All right, here we go. Exodus 12, verse 1. Let's go. Let's get this done. And the Lord, speaking to Aaron and Moses in the land of Egypt, saying, shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Nisan, Abib. It's two different, but it's all the same, March, April. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month. Now I want to correct something that I said last week in haste. And the youngest lady in this building corrected me. She's 92 years old. Thank you, Sister Cleta, 93 years old. I didn't want to add that one in there. But I said you have to put up the lamb 14 days. That's not true. Now, Brother Branham, there is one quote where he says it, but remember, he's flying through all this, trying to teach us these things. But God told them, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb.
Right.
Now, is everybody we good with that? Yeah. So the 10th day of Abib or Nisan, you're going to find you a lamb. It has different criteria. But I want you to realize something as we're reading this. Remember, every house had to have a lamb. Okay? Every house. This is an individual affair with God. It's not a group thing. No. It's an individual affair with God. Speaking to the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, in other words, you got to eat this thing. This lamb's got to be consumed.
Right.
You can't have any left over.
Right.
So they gathered several together. This is the natural story. All right. Let him and his neighbor next into his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Now look, your lamb shall be without blemish. Here's where that, Sister Cleta and I were talking about. Because you got to keep it up until the 14th day. So from the 10th day to the 14th day, you've got to examine that lamb.
Yeah.
Can't have a blemish.
Right.
Can't have a broke leg.
Right.
Can't have a sore.
Good.
It's got to be a perfect lamb.
Amen.
Did we not have one?
Amen.
You're going to see this, man. I mean, if you don't see this, then Lord help you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Because this will help you to see what God has done, not for those people in the natural, but what he's done for you spiritually.
Amen.
Amen. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male. A firstborn. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening time. Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts. What? Two side posts. And on the top. Two side posts and on the upper door. What are you making? A cross. A cross. That's where you got to put the lamb, on the cross. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the house, wherein they shall eat it. Now I know if you've watched the Ten Commandments recently, you'll remember this little guy has a little thing for this girl. There's always one in the story. So he goes over and runs over to her house and he slaps some blood on her. That don't work. That's not what happened. You got to put the blood over your doorpost. You can't put it over your neighbor's. In other words, you can't give your Holy Ghost to somebody else. You got to have it for yourself. And you can't have it because Brother Dale's got it. You can't have it because... Amen. You shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the house wherein they shall eat. And they shall eat the flesh in that night. Jesus said, eat my... and drink my... Okay. They shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread. So that's where you begin to start eating unleavened bread. What is unleavened bread? Unleavened bread is bread without a riser or without yeast in it. We'll talk about that next time. Because there's a little key in there about unleavened bread. And that's why we take unleavened bread and wine, not grape juice, and not cornbread. Or bread. We take unleavened bread made by holy hands without leaven, and that's what we take with our communion because it commemorates the body and blood of the Lord. And, while I'm thinking about it, do you want to have communion next Sunday with Brother Andrew here, or do you want to wait till the next Sunday? Wait till next Sunday. Okay, we'll have communion the second Sunday in July. Okay, not the first Sunday. We always have it the first Sunday of the month. And you shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. This is not going to be a real fancy meal. Because something's going to die. But you got to eat not of it raw, nor sodden, at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof, in other words, everything. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it, that's why we burn the communion bread. When we get finished with communion, I take what's left over to my house and I burn it to a crisp. All right? Because you don't want to hold anything over. Remember what happened to manna in the land of Israel when they held it over the next day? What did it become? Had wiggle tails in it. It became sour and would make you sick. In other words, like the word of God, you can't hold it over from a day past. You get a new revelation every day. Amen. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning, you shall burn with fire. And thus shall you eat it with your loins girded. Know how to dress? Your shoes on your feet and your staff in your hand. Because remember, when you receive this lamb and you receive this Passover, you're getting out of Egypt. You're leaving whatever you were in. If you linger around, you didn't do the right thing. In other words, you got left behind. And thus shall you eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the capital L-O-R-D. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon your houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite this earth. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. How many of you remember the day you got born again?
Amen.
There's your Passover. There's your memorial.
Amen.
And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. And you shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Listen, folks. Here sits a group of people that had been in bondage for 430 years. There had been all kind of plagues, and you know, the devil said, I'm done with you. Leave. And then about 15 minutes later, the devil says, no! Get back in here where you're supposed to be. He kind of, that's what the devil does. He lets you get on out there a little close, and then he says, no! Come back. But this day, when something died for your sin, when something died and the blood was put over the doorpost as a token that something happened, oh, folks, grace came on the scene. Grace brought Israel a prophet. Grace brought Israel an angel that was going to lead them through the journey that they had. And grace provided a lamb. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. I can't die. He died for me. Oh, what a great thing. And this was before law. Remember, grace came before law. Because they didn't get the law till the wilderness in Acts 19. This was grace before law ever came. God gave them grace. Provided them a way out. Provided them a prophet for what? A prophet for instruction. An angel for a guide. And a lamb to take away your sin. Is that not what happened today? Is that not what happened today? God did the same identical thing. The Holy Ghost to guide you. He gave us a prophet in the end time according to Malachi 4 to straighten up all the loose ends and get us all straightened back up. And then he left the scene, and what did he do? He left us the message. He left us the Word of God. So let's go through these little points right here real quick. So this is some of the bullet points we've talked about. But look, the first month is Abib or Nisan, which is March, April. You put the lamb up on the 10th day of the month. Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
All right? And as me and Sister Cleta were talking about, I should have known it wasn't 14 days because 4 days before Jesus Christ was crucified, he rode into the temple. He said, here I am. I'm the perfect lamb. And when he walked into the temple, Brother Louise, he didn't walk in and go, hey, how y'all doing? He said, you can't do this in my daddy's house. Do y'all know the chronology of that? This is when it happens. Right before he's crucified, he walks in the temple to declare he is the Paschal Lamb. And they're out there selling doves and selling pigeons and selling this and selling that for the Passover that was coming. Oh, he was mad. Let's say he was angry. Let's say he planted a rope and drove him out of the temple. And I'm always like, Daddy, I don't believe he hit one animal there because he hit the real animals and it was the people. Them priests that should have known different. Alright? And you're supposed to kill this lamb when? In the evening. Each home had to kill a lamb. Everybody got that? They had to eat unleavened bread. It had to be a lamb of the firstborn. They had to be ready to go. And there had to be blood over the door. Now listen. Any of that done wrong meant death. Any of that done wrong meant death. That's why you and I must do what the Word of God says. It's written there. It's for us to see, and it's for us to understand. And if they did that, guess what? They stayed alive the next day. But if they didn't, guess what? They died. It didn't matter. It didn't. You know what? If you had a rebel kid, or not a rebel kid, but you had a rebel family that says, oh, "I'm not doing anything my prophet says. I'm not doing anything a preacher says. I'm going to live my own way, my own life." Well, according to that, you died the next day. Maybe not naturally, but spiritually dead. Amen? So now let's Real quick, I want to jump to the New Testament, to the book of Luke, to show you that Passover is one of the feast days, but it's also included in the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Just to be real quick, right here, watch. Luke 22, this was in the time of Jesus. It says, now the Feast of Unleavened Bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. Everybody got that? So it's included. It's separate, but it's included. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Now, what are they coming up to? They're coming up to that Passover, which was on what? Friday. Also remember, you got this? Listen. Jewish days are not midnight to midnight. Everybody got that? Jewish days start at 6 o'clock in the afternoon or in the eve. Their evening is 6 o'clock. From 6 o'clock to 6 o'clock is their day. And why is that? I told y'all last Sunday. Thank you. In the book of Genesis, God said the evening and the morning is the first day. So we got to stay in the Bible. And we got to see that Jesus, look at Luke 22 verse 8. Then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. So the Passover is included in unleavened bread, but you can't put it in the 7 days of unleavened bread. You got to make it the 8 days. Passover is one day because they kill it at the evening time. Then you start the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That's 7 days. And he sent Peter and John saying, go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. Let's go to Luke 22 verse 15. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And they said unto him with desire, have I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer? There's many times in the scripture that Jesus went to Passover because, we'll get into it a little bit later, there was three great feasts that every male child in Israel had to go to. All right? It was Passover, unleavened bread, Pentecost, and tabernacles. Isn't that strange? Passover, Pentecost. Is anybody getting anything out of this? And tabernacles. They had to come. See, that's why I see that where Brother Brown tells us about Jesus, when they caught him in the temple, that was during the Feast of Pentecost. But they came in on the Feast of Passover and they stayed the whole 50 days. And remember, they left because everybody, listen, don't get me wrong, but you think about the world now. You know, you see the, especially out in the world, you know, you see a guy having a party at his house and everybody wants to come. Doesn't matter if you're a family member. Well, that's the same way with the Passover because during the Passover and all these different feasts, everybody comes. Jews, Greeks, didn't matter. Hey, they get free food and wine and let's just all go to the Passover. That's what happened many, many times. But here Jesus is coming up to the hour that he's to be killed or the day before. And he said, with desire, have I desired to eat this Passover? He had celebrated Passover since he was a child. And I have told you many times before, Jesus went to church. What's your problem? Jesus went to church. Amen. Amen? For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Because he was fixing to be the Passover lamb. But with desire, I have desired. He had longed from the day that he knew that he was going to be killed. He had desired to eat that Passover meal because he knew if he didn't eat that, he wouldn't go to Calvary. But he knew he was going to have to go to Calvary now. He's right there at the Lord's Supper, not the Lord's dinner. You eat supper in the evening. Just for those of you that think the middle of the day is supper. Our dinner is in the evening. It is not. It's called the Lord's Supper, not the Lord's dinner. Okay. John 18. Now look what happened here. They had already took Jesus and You got to remember that. You got to follow this with me here real quick, and we'll get more into it as we do the other feast. But remember, Jesus had to be killed on Passover. Has everybody got that? All right. And Passover their day started at 6 o'clock in the afternoon. All right. So they ate the Lord's Supper Thursday evening. Then by the next morning, it was already Passover time. And that's where Jesus, because watch this right here. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas. Now Caiaphas was a high priest. He was a Jew. And remember, you can't defile yourself. Sister Cleveland and I were talking a few minutes ago. Even in the Bible, there was a group of people that had touched a dead man. In the Bible. And they come to Moses and say, Moses, we can't do the Passover. We're defiled. God, he went to God. And God said, okay, I'm going to give you some grace. The next month, on the 14th day of the month, will be your Passover. All right, so like Brother Dale said, it's not just everything God just chopped. No, he gives grace to everybody. All right, amen. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. Now, where's the hall of judgment? That's Pilate. That's Gentile. You don't defile yourself. And it was early. In other words, it was the morning of Friday. Already started to Passover at 6 o'clock, though, but it was the morning of Friday. Everybody got that? And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. So they couldn't go to Pilate's hall, because that's the hall of Gentiles. You don't go in there because you're defiled, remember? That they might eat the Passover. And watch. What happens is now Jesus, they literally, brothers and sisters, listen to this. They literally were killing a lamb in the temple while they hung the Lamb of God on the cross. Same time. Same day. He fulfilled every scripture. That's how blind Israel was. And that's how bloodthirsty the world was. Is that they didn't care. They just said, hang him on the cross. And they hung him on the cross while they were killing the Passover lamb, the Lamb of God. Hey, why did God rend the... There was a big curtain over the Holy of Holies. You couldn't see it. Nobody but one high priest could go back there. Now remember, this will prove that man didn't do it. God rent it from the top. This thing was like 30 feet tall. He rent it from the top to the bottom. You could say man would do it if you rent it from the bottom to the top. But God rent the veil from the top to the bottom. And as I like what Brother Brown says, he said, surely they could look out the window of the temple and see the Lamb of God hanging at Calvary, because God was going to show a witness that he sent the real Lamb. Amen. The real Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Listen to what the prophet of God says right here in Witness in 1956. Many was witnesses of his day, and his cross when he was dying, the Pharisees, they should have known what the word said. The word gave witness that when he was killed on, he was a Passover lamb, killed at the Passover time. He gave witness. The word spoke of him. When he healed the sick, when he raised the dead, when the lame leaped like a hart, it was the word. Oh my, can you receive it? It was the word giving witness that this is he who's been promised to the world. The Savior, the Messiah. It gave witness to his deity. That he was more than man. The night that the seas hushed itself and rocked away like a crying baby hushed in the mother's arm. When he said, peace be still. It was giving way, nature testifying that he is deity. None other than the Creator himself. Not a mere man, not a prophet, but God. Manifested in flesh, he was God. That don't excite you? Thank you, Louise. You and I have to come to this same place. You have to, though, not take a lamb now. You have to accept that the Lamb's already been crucified. But you still got to do it in your house. You can't do it in Brother Donnie's house or this. You got to do it in your house. It is a private, individual affair with God. It's you and Him, no one else. And listen, if you ain't got the token applied, what's going to happen? The death angel will come and carry you away. Amen? So get into Christ. As Brother Dale was preaching this morning, chosen in Him. Listen, there was a lot of people chosen of Him. Judas was chosen of Jesus. But if you're chosen in Him, whatever He is, that's what I am. Is that too strong? Jesus said, Lord, I pray, Father, I pray that they will be one as You and I are one. How strong is that? But here we come to the Passover, and they killed this lamb, and they ate it in haste, and they got ready. And when they walked that door, out that door the next day, they left Egypt. And they didn't go back. And I love what even poor Pharaoh, he looks at Moses the day before, and he said, I won't see your face again. And Moses turned around and looked at him and said, no, you will not. Amen? Because when they got across the sea and they looked back and all those Egyptians were dead, Moses looked at him, he told him, he said, these Egyptians you've seen, these sins, these lies, these things that you've done. Clap your hands. Somebody clap your hands. Good Lord. All these sins, everything you see has been left in that sea. That sea of God's forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. He will not bring up your past. If somebody brings up your past, it's the devil. And he's a liar. The father of it. So the feast of Passover has one meaning, but it also has another meaning. The feast of Passover is included in communion. We'll read that real quick. So let's turn to, well, let's read 1 Corinthians. Watch this right here. Now Paul picks this up in the New Testament. Now, We don't have to go to the feast of Passover anymore. The day. Right? God said, when Jesus came, He said, there's not a day. In other words, there's no more. He was the Lord of the Sabbath, and He's standing there telling them, say, look, it's not a day. The rest I'm telling you about is Me. So you get in Christ. And as I've always said before, why do we have to celebrate a great big thing called Easter? We celebrate the resurrection every Sunday. Every Sunday reminds us there's a resurrection. Doesn't take Easter to do that. Easter was something man put together. Your glorying is not good. And you know the history behind that too, don't you? We do. It's not good. Astarte and all that. Yeah, all that junk. Your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Purge out therefore the old leaven that you may be a new lump. Call yourself a lump. I'm a new lump. As ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast. In other words, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, sin, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And that's why we're going to look in Exodus 12, verse 43 real quick. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. Now this is continuation. If you go over to where we were, this God brings it back up. But watch what He tells them to do. He's real specific, because what happens is all the children of Israel are in Egypt. Now they're fixing to leave Egypt, and there's a big old mixed multitude come behind them. Everybody got that?
Amen.
Believers, make believers and unbelievers. Where's Bob? Where's Bob at? Bob in the back. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof. But every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, what is circumcised the type of? The baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Then shall he eat thereof, according to Abraham's faith, God giving the sign of circumcision, give you the sign of circumcision of the heart when he give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Then shall he eat thereof a foreigner and a hired servant. In other words, people strange to your walk of life, the Holy Ghost that you're living in. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house. Neither shall ye break a bone thereof. Now there's where, you know, Jesus, they said Jesus' bones were not broken. They were going to break his leg, but he was already dead. Why? Because he gave up the ghost. Listen, man didn't kill God. He said, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He hung there for 3 hours. For me and you. That's why it stirs my pot when you hear people say, well, I only want about a 15-minute sermon. I only want about a 20-minute sermon. If God can hang on the cross for 3 hours, I can sit and listen to somebody tell me about that God. Amen. And if it takes all day, let it be all day. Amen? I'll clap on that one. If you clap, that means you ain't asleep. Oh, boy. In one house shall it be eaten, and thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad. In other words, this is sacred.
Amen.
It's a sacred feast. When we take communion, it's sacred. Sorry. All the congregation of Israel, shall keep it. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised. And then let him come near and keep it, and he shall be as one that is born in the land. For no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. You're not supposed to take the communion without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because it's a commemoration that man died on the cross and gave his body and his blood for me and you. Amen. So that's how serious God is. No uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. What a wonderful, wonderful thing that God's give us. Now I want to give you this one more point and then we'll close. During the time of Passover, remember, that was on a Friday. You got to have him crucified on Passover. He has to be killed. And listen, the Bible tells us, and I didn't bring it, that they were hurrying up the process. That's why they were going to try to break his legs. Because why? At 6 o'clock, the Feast of Unleavened Bread start. But remember, it was a high Sabbath. Their Sabbath is on Saturday, remember? Everybody got this? So they had to get him off the cross before 6 o'clock because there's no servile work done the next day because it was a double no-no to do anything. Number one, it was a Sabbath. Number two, it was unleavened bread. So they call it a high Sabbath, which means that a feast day fell on the same day. If they would have left Jesus on the cross at 6:10, he'd have had to hung there until Monday. And that would have broke every scripture that was there. Because Monday they went back to work again, but they still did unleavened bread. But remember, he had to represent all the feast. So here's the Feast of Passover. They killed the lamb. Christ died on the cross before 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock started the Feast of Unleavened Bread. What is unleavened bread? No leaven. This thing. Jesus wasn't in his body on Saturday. He was in spirit form and went to the souls in prison, preached to them. Oh, Lord. No, his body was... Yeah, his body was laying there. Dead. Dead as a hammer. Dead. Well, that was just an old Southern expression, dead as a hammer. So, but he was laying there dead, but his soul was still working. So while they were eating unleavened bread with sorrow and no leaven, the leaven of the Lord was laying in the tomb. And the unleavened bread went to hell. You know, you don't have to go to hell but one time. And if you're in him, I was in him on the cross. Right? If you're born again, that life, the eternal life that was in that man on the cross, I was in there. So I have already been to hell. I don't have to go again. I've done been one time. It has no hold on a Christian. This great thing called death and this great thing called hell that everybody's scared of. Been there, done that. Got scars for it. But when Jesus Christ came up out of that tomb on the eighth day, or the first day of the week, there's your Feast of First Fruits. He was the first one out of the ground. The first one to resurrect. But we're going to get into that because we got to break it down. We done went way ahead of ourselves now. But we got unleavened bread. So Jesus fulfilled. If you'll look on your chart there, you'll see. And just take it home and study it. Look at it. And let's look at it one more time. Brother Joe, pull it up. And then we'll musicians come after we do this, if you don't mind. It's kind of interesting, too. Have you ever thought about this? You remember, I know that Joseph and Mary had to go to Jerusalem to be taxed, to be counted or to be taxed. But remember, they couldn't find a place to sleep.
Right, right.
Could it have been they were celebrating the Feast of Passover and the place was crowded?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because remember, he was born in April. Jesus Christ was not born on Christmas Day.
Amen.
We know that.
Right.
Lambs are not born in December. They're born in April.
Right.
So if he was born in April and crucified in April,
right,
he was in that Passover the whole time. But Passover, which is called, and that is pronounced Pesach, like a sock. Pesach. It's Passover. It's on the 14th day. That's when the lamb is killed. The lamb's not killed on this day. The lamb's killed on the 14th day. But you do begin, one more time, you begin the Feast of Unleavened Bread on the 14th because you eat unleavened bread. It's part of it. That's the 8 days. But we're going to get into unleavened bread because God told them 7 days. Saturday, or that Sabbath, that Saturday, you do no servile work. Then you can work, but you still got to eat unleavened bread. And then the last day is a holy convocation. The seventh day. And then, Lord, we're going to get into something when we get into the Feast of Pentecost. Because that's exactly the day that Christ came back into people. The exact day. And guess what now? Jesus fulfilled all these feasts while he was on earth. He will not be on earth when these are fulfilled.
Right.
That's right.
The Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Atonement.
Right.
And the Feast of Tabernacles is for me and you to fulfill. Because now Christ has immorphed himself from the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world to now he has come inside of me and you. And he has made us kings and priests. He has made us eternal. We're just as eternal as God is. Oh, I don't know about that, Brother Wade. Romans 8 says that we are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Now, what does that mean? Whatever he gets, we get. Musicians, come. Let's stand to our feet. Whatever he is,
amen,
we are.
Right.
The Feast of Passover was a solemn time, folks.
Amen.
It literally meant life or death.
Right.
Literally to them, it meant life or death.
Right.
Literally meant.
Right.
You say, well, no, it means life and death to you too.
Right.
It means life and death to you also.
Amen.
You and I must partake of what that lamb did.
That's right.
Before the foundation of the world.
Glory.
Oh yeah, he was slain in God's mind. He was slain before the foundation of the world. That's what your Bible says.
Right.
But he had to come down here and physically do it. You know why?
Right.
To show the devil
exactly
that he meant what he said.
Yeah.
He meant he wasn't going to send another person down here to die. He was going to come down himself.
Amen.
Let's sing a song. Oh, you got to be kidding me. Christ, huh? Yeah.
Christ our Redeemer died on the cross.
That sounds familiar.
Died for the sinner, paid all his due. Sprinkle your soul with the blood of the Lamb. And I know it will pass. I'll pass over you.
Say it.
When I see the blood. Chiefest of sinners, Jesus will save. All he has promised, that will he do.
All the way back.
Within the fountain.
Way back in Egypt.
Open for sin.
God promised him, I'm going to bring you out.
We'll pass over you.
And he will you too. He'll take you out of this
when
world.
When I see the blood. Saving, sin cleansing blood.
Why? It was a perfect lamb. Don't let him be perfect, makes you perfect.
Oh, when I
say it today. See the, let me hear the sisters sing. Come on, sisters, you can do better than that. Sing that chorus one more time. Let me hear the sisters.
And shelter under the blood, and I will pass.
Everybody sing it to him.
Oh, when I
have you had that experience yet? When I see the blood,
oh, when I see the blood, I will pass.
We've been there.
Amen.
We've sat at the Passover table. One night when you come to an altar, you say, Lord, I've done all I can do. I can't do no more. I'm done. I'm going to be like that. By that guy, Brother Ram told, he said, Lord, if you don't save me, you're going to find a bag of bones laying right here. Because I ain't leaving till you give me something. Now, when you get that serious, with God, right, Nida? When you get that serious with God, something happens. There's something going to visit you and going to give you the desire of your heart. Don't walk in this world without God. Please don't do that. Please don't. He died for you and me. And by grace, he sent us a prophet for instruction. I like that. He sent us a prophet for instruction. He sent us an angel to lead us. And he give us a perfect sacrifice. To not just cover you when you come up to the altar and give your heart to God, but every day. Every day I have to claim the blood. You know, we sing that song, I claim the blood that was shed on Calvary. I have to claim that, Brother Ryan. You do too. Everybody does. We all just can't say, no, that's where, you know, I got saved when I was a kid. Now I'm going to do what I want to do. That's not the way it works.
Amen.
You got to know, because that death angel's not going to just come by one time. He's going to keep coming by, and when he sees that blood, he's going to turn. But if you don't keep it up there, he can go right in that door. It didn't matter, priest, king, Jew, Gentile, Egyptian. If that doorpost didn't have that blood over it, you died. If you're without God today, you're already dead. But if you're born again today, you're dead too. That's what Brother Dale tries to do every Sunday. It's what we preachers try to do. We try to kill that old man. Get that old man dead. Because I want him to see the blood. I don't want him to see me. I don't want him to see my works. I want him to see the blood. And that when I claim the blood, then I can lay it all back on him. Why did Jesus stand there one day and he said, come all ye that are labored and heavy laden and I'll give you rest. Put this thing on my shoulders. I'll bear your burden. How many of us would do that though? No, we want to go, I don't think I can do that. Have a little pity party. No, just give it to God.
Amen.
Let him take care of it. He said he would. I'm not telling you anything he didn't say. Cast your cares on me. Why? Like we were talking about, I mean, all this junk going on in the world. Yeah, sure, we need to be diligent. We need to not tempt God. But Lord of mercy, we're not supposed to dig ourselves a hole and get in it. Don't be an ostrich. Poor thing about an ostrich is more of him sticking out of the hole than he is in the hole. And the whole world can see that he's an ostrich. Doesn't matter how much he hides his face, he's still an ostrich. But God bless you. Thank you. Let's sing it one more time, when I see the blood, and we'll be dismissed. If you have a need, if not, then we'll go. Oh, when I see the blood. In my Sunday school class to figure out what we're going to do for this weekend. And we need participation. We're going to play. You're dismissed. Oh.